Today we start the seventh parak of Bava Kamma. It's a new world, and it's dealing with the mitzvah of Gneva. There's no mitzvah to do Gneva per se. The mitzvah is surrounding the mitzvah actually is on a base to adjudicate a case of Gneva. But it's like a new mitzvah, and I want to just... Well, the way that the Rama learns it many times is the mitzvah is for the Beis Din to rule on a case of, in this case, Geneva. There's obviously that's the mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is to do justice in response to. No, there's a separate. Well, Signal was actually talking about kidnapping. But the mitzvah, the technical mitzvah that we're wrangling with now from Mishpatim is the mitzvah of the technical mitzvah, which was the Beis Din to act and judge appropriately in a case of. In case of Geneva, so the Mishnah, the Perek, will deal with what are the rules when it comes to Geneva. So I want to give a bit of introduction here, as if I'd be like a new Masechta. This is like a new... the first six Perekim we're dealing with Nizkei Mamon, your property damaging. We're like in a new world. It might as well be a new Masechta called Masechta's Geneva, for what it's worth. It's a new thing. Let me give just a regular introduction to that. So first of all, what we're talking about here is Geneva as opposed to Gezela. Geneva, I think the convention is... not unreasonably, I guess, to translate Geneva as theft as opposed to Gezela as robbery. But they're just words. Let me tell you what they mean. Geneva is when a person steals surreptitiously, like in secret, a clandestine act of theft. And Gezela is like an overt sort of a robber. He puts a gun to your head and says, give me your money or your life. So the dinim are different. We're only talking about the dinim of Geneva over here, which the Torah views as being more... severe of a crime. To steal in secret is considered to be more severe of a crime than to steal. Whoa, it's okay. Everything's fine. There you go. Than to steal, you know, in the public view. And the reason given in Chazal is because a person who steals secretly is saying, I'm not afraid of Hashem, but I'm afraid of people. But a person who robs in public, so he says, I'm not afraid of anybody. So it's like, this is an equal opportunity fearless guy. Yeah, so that's considered less of an affront to God. Because the first one is saying, well, the people are scary, but God isn't scary. That's considered worse. And I don't care what happens to me. So, well, how exactly to draw the lines of where, what is an act of Geneva versus Gezela? Okay, that's not our topic here. But that's not our topic. But just to illustrate the point, the Gemara questions with that. This: what if a person robs in the public view, but his victims are absent? Like in front of everybody, break into someone's house and steal his stuff, but the victim, isn't there. Is that considered Geneva or Gezela? Okay, so you get the idea. But whatever it is, we're talking about pure Geneva. It's not a topic to define what it is here. But we're talking about Geneva case where a person stole in secret. When a person steals in secret, the din is or. The din is when a person steals, whether publicly or privately, he needs to return the object he stole. If the Beis Din rules that he's guilty, in the case of Dafka Geneva, if he stole it in secret, he has to not only give back the object he stole, but also give back the value of that object again. That's called a kaful payment, a double payment. The Gemara says, because he should, so to speak, he should feel, the Rambam says, so he should feel like it was, you know, what the damage, the crime that was perpetrated against the victim, now he has it, he knows how it feels, because he lost the same amount of money. So in other words, if I steal your diamond ring, and it's worth $1,000, and then the Beis Din catches me out, and finds me guilty, I have to give you back your diamond ring, and $1,000 as a kaful payment. Okay, if the diamond ring is not around anymore, then I have to give you $2,000 cash. But the conceptual idea is it's returning the object or its value if there's an object around, and then also kaful payments. Okay,
I understand the penalty. What I don't understand is why is it owed to the person stole from? Why should he benefit? You'd rather be benefit. I'd rather go to the Beis Din or to Hegdish or something like that to Shem.
So I think that it ties into our discussion yesterday about like those two separate worlds colliding. There's like there's the bad guy and his punishment, and there's the victim and his hashgacha. But if there's a shidduch to be made, if we put them together, in other words, like I'm agreeing with your premise. Your premise is like this. Let me speak out the question. The question is, if something's a kanas, it's a penalty payment, So then, that has nothing to do with the victim per se, it has to do with the perpetrator. For example, when I run a red light, and a policeman gives me a citation, now you owe $250 for, you know, being a bad driver. So like, that doesn't belong, that doesn't belong to anybody in particular. I'm being penalized $250 because of what I did, nothing to do with the victim. And it will go to the state or whatever the story is. That number 250 is nothing to do with the severity or the level or the damage caused by my crime. Nothing to do with it. It's like an arbitrary fixed amount they assign. You run a red light, you get 250. You run a stop sign, you get 200. I don't, they make up rules. They're just rules to wag their finger. And it could well be, indeed, that the Torah wags its finger the way Hirsch describes it. The Torah wags its finger more strongly and provides more penalties depending on the severity of your crime. That's how he's understanding the difference between Gezeila and Geneva. And also, even when you talk about the Arba Vacham, there's a, we'll discuss in just a second and we'll get there, but there's a payment you pay about four times and five times with sheep and cows. He ties that in also. I'll tie it into there also. He says, again, it's a further violation of the public trust. In any case, but the question that Reuven's asking is, if it's just, I'm a thief, I should be punished, and since the penalty is to fit the crime, so to speak, I'll lose also the $1,000 that I stole. So I return your ring, you're basically made whole, and I pay $1,000 also. So like, why should it go to the victim? Let it go to the same place the traffic ticket payment goes. It's a punishment on me to not steal again. Which is a reasonable question. I just think that the answer is, there's an obvious, like, the obvious location it should go to since there's a victim here, so it goes to him. And there isn't like a separate public fund normally. So we put the two together. There are other examples of that. There is another example. It's not coming to my head now.
I could think of a reason perhaps not to give it to the Beit Din. Because the Beit Din then would have motivation to find people.
Okay, that's interesting. But sometimes it does go to the Beit Din. I'm trying to think. There is something rattling around in my head. I don't remember what it is. Anyways, but I think that's the idea. It's
not something in the street and saying, give me notes $1,000 or okay, I'm wrong. Okay, as opposed to, I embezzle $1,000 out of his bank account.
Well, ironically,
why is that worse for him? He lost $1,000.
It isn't worse for him. I'm agreeing with your premise. Yeah. It's just a penalty in the loft. It's like a standalone penalty against the criminal. Who should it go to? So it'll go, like, the hush. A reasonable address as the victim. It's going to go to someone, let it go to the victim. I think that's.
It's not Ribis? What?
No, it's not Ribis. No, Ribis is alone. It's not alone. That's the Torah set it up. I'd be in the same position if the Torah would have said it goes to the basin. You would say, why doesn't it go to the victim? I'll give you the exact same spiel. I'd say, well, it doesn't go to the victim because it's just. I hear your question, but that's the Torah set it up. I don't have a better answer than that. Couldn't have happened to a better guy in terms of getting the $1,000. So that's the din of Geneva. Now, since that extra, the kafel payment, the double payment, the extra $1,000, we'll call it the diamond ring is the carry, that's the stolen object, and the $1,000 is the value, just to make clear two things. That $1,000 is a kanas, it's a penalty. So the rule is, the pasuk says, if the courts will convict him, then he'll return the object in kafel, which then the drasha is, well, if it wasn't the court that convicted him, but just he himself admitted the mode of the kanas, he admits that he owes, like, in other words, he fesses up, says, oh, I stole this, here's your ring back, he will not pay the kafel payment. That's a rule. We've seen it a little bit. We'll get that. We saw it in, where did we see it last? We've seen it before. We saw it before. I don't remember where we saw it most recently. But anyway, Ksubas, we saw it. That was just a while ago. That a motive of kanas, if a person admits ahead of time that he owes something, then he doesn't have to pay the kanas. So, okay, there's a machlokas in the Gemara. What happens if Adam already came, but the court hadn't yet ruled him guilty? That's a machlokas. That's an interesting question. That's where we discussed that case. How could it still be fair if he's on the hook? It's clear he's going to get found guilty, just he hasn't gotten rendered yet, the judgment. Okay, all these are like extraneous points. But the critical point here is that if he admits to his crime ahead of time, he will not pay the kafel, the double payment. Okay. Now the pasuk says, when it talks about stealing, it mentions the shor, the seh, and simla, and clothing. Kignov ish shor, or seh, or That's not the pasuk I wanted. The pasuk is the pasuk. The context of the pasuk happens to be that a guard, it was stolen from the guardian's house. That's not our point here at all, really. It just says ki yitin ish el re'eu kesef o kelim lishmor. A person gives his friend to watch something, money or objects. V'gunav mebeis ish, and stolen from that guy's house. Im yimtza ganav yishalem shnayim. The thief will pay twice again. Al kein, I'll call davar pesha for anything, any kind of crime. Al shor, whether it's a shor, that's a cow. Al chamor, that's a donkey. Al se on a sheep, al silma on a silma is like a garment, a kol davar aveda, anything that's stolen, asher yarshiun Elohim yishalom shnayim l'reihu, anything that he stole that got lost or stolen and there was a wicked act done, the judges will make him pay twice to reihu, to his friend, that reihu is also going to become relevant later on. So you see, it lists a whole bunch of different things. Animals and clothing, essentially. So the Gemara deduces from that, it's only things that are like animals and clothing that a person pays kafel for, the double payment, meaning the usual chattel, the usual metalflin. But things that are not like that would not have a double payment. That would mean, for example, karka, land, because it's not metalflin, as well as, say, shtaros. Shtaros are contracts. But a contract has no intrinsic value. It's like, you know, maybe this is a stock certificate to 1,000,000 shares of Microsoft stock, but the actual piece of paper ain't worth much. So it's worth less than a pruta. So again, there's no kafel payment for that. And then also, we'll see the machlokas about avadim, but the halach is avadim are like, if you steal a human being who's a slave, they're like land and there will not be kafel payment. That's a machlokas, we'll see in the Gemara, in the Mishnah later on. It only goes in those movable things, and only to Re'ehu, only to your Re'ehu, to your friend, is a kafel payment. So the same way Nezikin wasn't paid to the non-Jew or to the Beis HaMikdash, the same will go to the kafel payment, not to be paid to the Beis HaMikdash or to a non-Jew. Fine. That's that. Now, so that's the Gneva and the kafel. Now there's another thing, which is the Torah also says, Ki yignov ish shor o seh. If a person steals a cow or a seh, here means a sheep, it's a machlokas from like achronim, if it also means goats or not. Funny, usually seh means sheep or goat, but here it's not clear if it's dafka these two animals, or even seh also means a goat, but just these kind of animals. But tavacho o machron, he shechts it, he does a shechit on it, or sells it. Chamisha bakar yishalom tachas ashur, you pay five cows value for the one cow, and four sheep for the price of one sheep. In other words, there's a unique special din. It's not a new mitzvah. It's still subsumed in the mitzvah of the judges adjudicating the laws of Geneva. But if a ganav in the night comes and steals your shor or your seh, your cow or your sheep, he has to pay, and he's caught, not just the usual kafel payment, but an extra, I don't want to get trapped in words here, but he'll pay. Let's talk about shor first, cows. He'll pay the value of the cow, plus a kafel payment again, plus three more payments, if you will, for a total of five payments. So he stole a $1,000 cow, he'll end up getting $5,000 of value back from him.
If he shot
it. If, no, only on one, only, correct, only if, A, it's dafka, shor, say it would be four times, a dafka cow, and B, he had to not just steal it, but he had to then go and shecht it, kosher shechita, or be toveach it, mocher it to sell it to somebody else.
If he's just using it as a plow,
then there's only kefal.
He just returns the cow plus the value of that cow?
Right.
So reselling it is also...
Reselling, exactly. Reselling your stolen sheep or cow, or shechting it, gets his worst penalty of four or five.
What is
that? Okay, I'll discuss in a second. Well,
can these things apply to other things like the
No. It's unique. It only applies to set and shore. Which everyone wants to ask questions. So everyone's asking, like, well, why? Okay, this is the why in a few levels. But so that, let me say the din clear, then I'll say the why in just a second. So that's the din. The din is, for just for these kind of animals, you pay this extra super duper payment, and it's four or five. Four for a sheep, five for a cow, and only if you effect a transfer of ownership, that's the sale, or you shecht it in a kosher way. That's the din. before we start getting to the time of the crop.
Otherwise, you eat the
stuff. That's right. If you cut it up for dog food, don't shech it. You just butcher it. You know, you shoot in the head. Right. You would not have the din. You would not have the din of take 4 or 5. Strange, but that's how it is. Now, yeah?
If you don't kosher shechted?
It has to be shechted in a kosher way to incur the liability. Strange. Yeah, strange.
Right. It doesn't
matter if you eat it. Right. That's right. Especially.
Otherwise, it's, in any other case, it's a double.
The usual double basement. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And is this like yesterday, like we said, where we trust the guy to steal furniture from his house? If I come in and the guy who stole my cow, I go to his house looking the last bone clean. So how do we know how much the cow's worth? Is it the same thing?
Oh, how much the cow's worth?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good interest.
So we go back to the owner?
I guess that's always a question of thief. I guess we'll probably, it's probably standard cow guys. I remember we're gonna have 8 of them anyways. We're gonna have 2 8 of them. It's probably standard price on a cow, and there's probably the 8 of them will testify what kind of. No, there's a standard price for eggs. I'm changing the topic slightly. There's a standard price for eggs, but oh, there's like different kinds of eggs. There's like, you know, small, medium, and large eggs, right? A jumbo and whatever. So I'm sure there's a standardish price for cows, but then there's, you know, people know if it's a little cow, a big cow, old cow, young cow, and I guess the Adam will testify what kind of cow it was.
It's a blue book.
That's right, there's a blue book, exactly. It was a 79, you know, Dodge Plymouth, and that's, you know.
Oh, it's a blue book, not a blue book.
Right, so that's it.
50,000 miles.
So that's the idea. Now, yeah. No, so you won't. Well, the Mishnah will talk about that explicitly. Yeah, then indeed, it has to be stolen from the house of the owner. So if a thief steals from a thief, he won't pay the kafel.
Right, but I'm stolen for 4 or 5.
Who's I? What's the story? The story is
first.
Yeah.
First.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he had to sell it to somebody. Or we won't
he's
be able to. Then he's only eligible for kafel. That's what I'm trying to get the din first. So yeah, before we get the why, let's get the din. The din is, it's only if, basically, there are two steps to make it. It has to be either dafka ashor seh, A, and B, it has to be, then he went and either sold or shechted it. If, you know, and then he's on the hook for 4 or 5. If other things happen, like he, I don't know what, he lost it, or he just kept it for his own use, or any other weird thing, not. Even more, it actually has to be that he sold or shechted an animal that was, he sold it in total, or he shechted it all and it wasn't his. In other words, like, weird case would be, let's say, for example, it was already half my cow, and I sold the other half. Like, we're partners, and I stole it from you. Or I'm an inheritor, and we have brothers, and I took it from all of you. Stuff like that, there would be no kafel payment. And
what happens to the carcass? Who gets the carcass? We shechted it, but it didn't need it yet. Why are we getting the carcass?
No, okay, that's a good question. We'll deal with that in the 9th parak, which you did already. See, good thing we're chazaring. No, okay, I see. A separate dinim about when you steal stuff, then normally the din is that the person who steals it has to give it back. But as we'll see in the 9th parak, yeah, that if there's a change that's effect done to the thing, either a shinui hashem, which has got a different name because it's a different thing now, or a shinui maisa, it's a changed object now, then the thief gets to keep the object and just return the value of when it was stolen. That's a separate thing. That's another gazera that hasn't changed. The unique case. I'll take the question. The question is: there's a special, a famous din that the thief doesn't need to return if he steals a plank, an I beam, whatever it is. He sticks it into his house as part of the roof. He doesn't need to give back that particular I beam, that plank. Why not? Because if he does, the whole house would fall down. So they were. Because of what's called Takana Shavim, they wanted him to do tshuva. They said, okay, you return the value. But that is a unique case. Why? Because there, the board is the board. It's the same plank as it always was. No changes happened to it. And still, we're a makel. But normally, it's, you know, I stole your wood and I made it into, like, you know, into a bookshelf. So now it's my bookshelf. I just owe you the wood value. Because I've changed it. It's a Shinui Maisa and a Shinui Shem also. It's got a different name and got a different function. That's the 9th perk. We'll get there. You're going
to
ask?
So he has to, if it doesn't look back, if it's been changed to a better operating system, what happens? Is it, he's now made it better, but we've got Windows 7 instead of this
one. That's an interesting question. Okay, so that's an interesting question. I don't know that. I'll give you very briefly the principles, the rules that apply. Different. A small Shinui Maisa is not alone enough to acquire to acquire it unless it also is accompanied with the shein reshem or with a yeish, with an abandonment. So in the case of changing the operating system, that would not be a shein reshem.
Well,
for sure not.
Let's just turn that
a shein reshem. It's not a different name. It's still the same computer. You wouldn't call it, this is a Windows computer versus this is a Linux computer or this is a Windows 7 computer. That you wouldn't do. So it's just... So that's just a shinui, it's a shinui maisa. The question is, what's a big shinui maisa or not? I don't know enough to say if that's big enough. I could definitely hear new operating system, not shinui maisa. Before this, yes, shinui maisa. I don't know.
They ask for his money back.
Oh, the thief?
Listen, I can't
hate
your computer.
No, so usually, well, see the ninth effect, we'll discuss. You'll see. You'll see what happens. Usually, the principle is that the victim doesn't lose. That's like the Mishnah's case. Remember, we're like, I gave you my wool to dye red, and you decided blue looked nicer, so you made it blue. So, like, okay, great, thank you very much. Now, I'm going to get Okay, that's the case. Okay. Back to our parak here. So that's the din. Now the question is a reasonable question, like why? Like why in the world should these four and five dinim take its place? So the famous, everyone knows the famous memory of Yochanan ben Zakkai, that the person's embarrassed when he carries the sheep. It's like more, what's the opposite of dignified? It's less dignified, whatever. It's an undignified way to steal. You have to schlep sheep on your shoulder versus leading the cow. And therefore, he says, this is a famous chazal, that you pay less for the sheep than the cow because of the price you paid already part in like your lack of dignity. Unusual. I wouldn't even brought it in except that it's like famous. Chazal say it. Rabbi Kiva gives another, also sort of member from Rabbi Kiva, who says that the badness of the crime of stealing it or shechting it or selling it after you stole it is like you become more entrenched in your sin, which Mufarshim explain means there's like no chance of tshuva anymore. Like it's bad enough that you are a thief, but like by shechting it, you have no.
Of course.
Yeah, you were. I'll put it this way: you were sucked into your taiva. Oh, you saw someone's goat, you wanted it, so you stole it. That's bad. But like, there's always a hope that you know maybe you'll.
Return.
Yeah, you'll return it. You'll have a second thought. Obviously, by shechting it or selling it, you've like closed the door on that possibility, and therefore you become like more entrenched in your crime. So that then like now you're on the hook for more. That's right. Both these things are seen to be general principles which have like quite a far, would in theory have quite a far reaching application, which they don't. Not allowed to. It doesn't go past sheep and goats. It doesn't matter if you happen to be Hercules and carry the cow on your shoulders, you're still paying fine, obviously. And if you stole some guy's duck and you have to put it under your arm, you can't think, oh, it's like three times, whatever. None of that. Just sheep and just. This funny image of mine from a childhood book I read once.
Maybe
with
you didn't carry
the lamb?
Maybe you just...
No, exactly. So that's what I'm saying, no. No way. It's still four times.
Okay.
Yeah, that's there. This is all Doraisa. These are Psukim. The rationale, not Psukim, but the Psukim are four and five. Special dip.
But only for cows and sheep.
Because they don't. Good question. They don't learn it to other things because the pasuk went out of its way to say cow and sheep. It says cow 5, sheep 4. So you see, there's no principle there. By the fact that it says cow 5, sheep 4, there's no. It's clear there's two separate idiosyncratic rules.
This is a category. This is just consequences.
Well, that's it's a little unusual. Like I said in the beginning, it's this. That one of the targ mitzvahs is for the courts to adjudicate the laws of Geneva, and this is like one of the rules. But it's a pasuk. It's not a mitzvah to pay 4 or 5. It's the mitzvah is for the base to say you owe 4 or 5 and to make you pay 4 or 5. But it's a pasuk. The pasuk is speaking out.
How many like
the
subcategories of
halachas
are there? Not one of the
in Geneva. Oh, this is not unusual for the halachas of the halachas that all the this is a similar structure to how many mitzvahs are where the mitzvah is don't do some crime, then a lot of times the Rambam understands it to mean the mitzvah is for the Beis Din to adjudicate execution of the sorcerer or whatever the story, like these weird things. Sort of they look at it as a. Let me explain why. Because the mitzvahs are are structured as a mitzvah's ase. When it's a lav, you can say, okay, the mitzvahs don't do something. But when it says in a positive way, like the sorcerer shall not live, so like then it sounds like there's something to do. Right? So then
the mitzvah's on the basin, clearly.
The mitzvah becomes on the basin. What's in the basin? So we say the basin is to follow the rules. What are the rules? So now we get all these mitzvahs.
The rules are fine here, deraisa. This is not
some sort of these are deraisa. These are deraisas. Deraisa, these are explicit psukim. Explicit psukim, 4 and 5. So now the Rambam in the Morne Buchim has an interesting explanation for what's with the 4 and 5 for sheep and cows specifically. So his approach is that you need to have a stronger deterrence when there's when it's can I define it, the category? When a person is more susceptible to crime, then the Torah needs to put a stronger penalty to dissuade people from perpetrating such a crime. Meaning, that sounds, I don't know if that's the perfect definition of what he says, but this is his line of reasoning, that when it comes to sheep and cows, the problem is, unlike other things that you own, you let them out into the wild to go, into whatever, the pastures, whatever, into the fields, to go to pasture, to graze. So unlike your wristwatch, which is either on your wrist or at the side of your bed or in your safe or something, you have to let your cows and your sheep go wandering out there. So then it's very easy for you to go and pick them up, because you can't have your eye on all of them all the time, because there's a lot of them everywhere, which place. Therefore, putting a stronger penalty on people so they should know this is really off limits, because otherwise everyone will steal everyone else's cows because they're out of your
eye. But then what about other animals that you get grazed, like goats?
Well, goat is the question is goat, but you don't have other animals you graze typically, right? Do you?
Have what?
Other animals you graze typically?
Chickens.
Chickens don't graze. They don't. Even free as chicken are still like not that free as you might like to think.
Not that free.
That's his explanation. I mean, right?
Makes sense.
I don't think people do let horses roam around and graze. They won't come back. No, they won't come back. What? They don't? Or are you looking at them funny? But, is that true? Not true what I'm saying?
No, they usually have big lands.
What?
Like Fury always comes back.
They what? Have big lands, like ranches, but they won't let them out.
Yeah, because they're boxed in. Sheep do that. Sheep, like, that's what sheep. Anyways, that's the Rambam explanation, and he says the difference between 4 for the sheep and 5 for the, this is in the Mora, only in the Mora Nebuchim, and the 5 for the cows is because sheep at least, they clump together. Have you ever seen sheep grazing? They go in a flock. And therefore, like, at least one man can keep an eye on all of them, like someone watching. Where it's not true by cows. Cows are just like, each one like wanders onto its own, and like you put a bell on it, hopefully you can find it later on, whatever, it'll come around. But the point is, it's really much more susceptible. So then he says that 4 for the sheep because they're wandering around, and 5 for the cows, which are even more on their own. That's the Rambam with the Mora. The Hirsch gives a different kind of explanation. I alluded to this before. He understands that the penalties are there, I don't know, symbolic might be too far stretched, but at least symbolically, to correspond to the level of which you violated the public trust. So, in other words, like society has to, or put it differently, society has to run, has to function. So like, you know, when people really cross the line, we need to put more stronger penalties, and people don't cross the line. Those all society will, like, you know, unravel. So it's not really likely that people very often just brazenly walk at your house and take your stuff while you're there. Like, that ever happened to anybody here? Probably not. Right? But people do. So therefore the Torah just made it like a single payment bank. That's like, literally that much. It's not such a violation of public trust. Whereas people secretly come to your house at night is much worse. If you ever happened to me once when I was in London, it's a really creepy feeling. Like, you come home and you come down in the morning from your upstairs and you see someone's been in your house overnight. It's a horrible feeling. Like, you feel violated. You really do feel violated. It's horrible. I had a nace, by the way. Everything that was stolen from me came back to me. Mamish, the nace. Like, remarkable. The car came back to me. They stole my car. They found the keys. Like, the wallet was on the table. They didn't notice it there. The GPS fell out of their backpack into my bushes. It's like hilarious. Mamish, the nace. Anyways, you couldn't believe it. Like, a few days later, my kid's like, hey, look what I found in the bushes. There's the missing GPS that was stolen. All it went was the car, and the car was found and returned to me. The car came good back new. They drove back to me like nothing happened. It lost nothing. Anyways, it's a separate nace. But the point is, it's a horrible feeling. So the person, that's like a more nasty violation of public trust. Like, people breaking into your house at night and taking things that aren't theirs. So it's a worse penalty. So he says the same kind of thinking when it comes to the sheep and the goats, similar to the Mora. Like, so we're relying on society being safe enough to let your animals graze in the fields. Otherwise, it won't work. You can't graze them. So people to violate that needs even like a stronger violation of public trust. And therefore, four or five. Why four or five? Because he says, because sheep, at least at night, are penned up, whereas cows are, even during the night, are free. So it's even, they're more... That's the Hirsch's explanation. Okay, those are interesting explanations. But that's the din. So this parak deals with those dinim of Geneva and Kefil and Arba Chamisha, four and five. One just conceptual point I want to make, last thing, is as I described it, but I didn't hammer the point home. Let's say the five payments for the cow, it's the Karen, the original object, plus the Kefil, the double, plus three more. Which means, it's a package, which means if you're missing, for whatever reason, the Kefil payments, technically you don't pay it, for whatever technical reason, you won't be paying the other three also. So, for example, the case of stealing from the thief. It's like Reuben steals it from me, and then Shimon steals it from Reuben. So since when, and then he goes and shechts it, Shimon, the second thief, goes and shechts it. Well, since he did steal a cow and he did shecht the cow, but since when he stole it, Shimon, the second thief, he stole it not from the owner's house, he won't pay kefil. Since he won't pay kefil, he won't pay the five payments also. Just pay a single. That's how it works. Okay, that's all introduction. So now,
and the guy who first stole it doesn't have to do anything.
He gives back the object.
No, but he stole it from someone, and then someone stole it from him.
And then he gets caught. He'll have to give the object back, or its value, and also it's in the kefil.
But do both guys have to give something?
The second thief just has to give it back to the first thief, who would then give it back. Just more, no kefil at all. So at the end of the day, the first thief
is
the. I mean, if the standard case would be
the first thief didn't sell it, but he didn't shack it.
Right.
So why should he have to pay?
Nothing. He only pays kefil, like any object. Like any object. So he pays kefil. The other thief stays, just has to return the object. So what would happen in a simplest circumstance would be thief 2 gives the cow to thief 1 gives the cow to the victim plus the kefil payment. That's how it would work.
None of the other.
That's it. Nothing else applies.
Okay. The second thief doesn't have to pay a penalty?
No penalty. Because he didn't steal it from the... Because the pasuk says steals it from the house of the owner, but he didn't steal it from the house of the owner. So stealing from a thief...
I mean, it could be a situation where he has no idea who he's stealing from. He doesn't know he's stealing a stolen object.
Right. It doesn't matter. I mean... It doesn't matter, correct? It is interesting. It's very interesting. But that's it. So now, that's all the introduction to the whole paragraph about thievery.